we desire to share our love, life, and legacy with the hopes that it inspires, compels, and challenges others. We're all about growth and leveling up, and that is what we aim to do. Now, something that we would like for everyone to understand is that this podcast is based on our opinions, framed from our life's experiences and perspectives. This is not to say that we are right and you're wrong. This is merely to challenge and elevate our lives, your life, and the conversations that surround the topics we speak on. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast.
It's recording in the background. You can start whenever you want to.
Okay, so what I needed to get off was, maybe it's just the mood, the temporary state of mind or feeling that I'm feeling in the moment. But when I think about the beautifulness of our relationship,
right,
and how it has developed over time, I just have an evolving understanding of love, life, legacy, love, life, in living, in our marital experience. So when I say marriage is a beautiful thing, you know, I'm not talking about, I am talking about just the various different aspects that I have experienced with you.
Right.
And that I wouldn't be who I am today without your impartation of many things.
Impartation?
Yeah.
I'm just joking around. Go ahead, honey.
Like you being a man with a vision, a man with a vision.
Mm-hmm.
At 17,
yeah,
was able to speak life into me.
Yeah, you know what gave me that ability? Love Jones. I'm just playing.
Yeah, I'm gonna say.
I'm just playing.
Like that movie.
Go ahead. I'm just playing. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
And today. Yeah. The woman that I am is because of the years of me not even understanding how certain seeds you planted in my mind and in my body has groomed me to be the woman that I am today.
Right.
When you look at the Proverbs 31 woman or just throughout the Bible, you know, besides when it gets into the kings and not even so much, you don't go into the history and life of a man so much. You know, you don't get really, besides Solomon and some, you know, David, we can figure out because it's just more text about them. But we can have nameless women or women names mentioned just in one section, and it just, you get more of her character and who she is and what she was about. When you think of the Proverbs 31 woman who doesn't have a name, you know everything that she did, but little about her husband. But everything she did gave glory to her husband and her children.
Mm-hmm.
Know so much about her. But she was the way that she was because of who her husband was.
Right.
People knew her name. You know, she was busy. She was working. You know, and to me, that is very symbolic to God being man, the representation of man in the earth. And us women being the earth, because now I'm able to move about this earth because of your support, your backing, you being present. And now I'm in all in what I do, I am seen as a Proverbs 31 woman that gives reference to her husband who, not nameless in the text, we don't know. I mean, it starts off with King Lumiere or something, I don't know. But I am because of seeds you planted. Like the earth is what it is because the seeds God planted as he moved upon the earth.
Yeah.
And everything that the earth does, we give all the praise to God for it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everything that I do as the earth, I know where all that came from. And it came from you living out your God-like image through me. And yeah. That's just... Eva, how did you get, like, how you mother of five, how did you get a doctorate? Because my husband.
Yeah.
Like, how did you do this, and how are you going here? How you travel? So, my husband and my husband mama. Like,
yeah.
Everything that I am. And that's why it's like, the earth can't give credit. Earth, how you grow the trees, God? how the waters go back and forth, and because God provided the moon, like the earth can't take. That's why the earth, and even thinking about Marvin Sapp songs and all of the earth, you know, give praise to God as the trees, because it's like I wouldn't have this without you. Right. I wouldn't have the life that people covet or the envy that I sometimes, not all the times, sense. And it's not like a bad envy. It's like I wish I could get that like her. Yeah, you need a husband. Well, my kind of husband.
Not your husband.
I mean, yeah. not my husband.
Yeah.
And to say that these women, and even in a conversation yesterday about, you know, Ebony K. Williams.
Yeah.
You don't have a husband.
It's sad.
And it's not a husband like, oh, I don't, you don't need any man.
Mm-hmm.
And to, before I go there, to know what the earth without form that I would have been.
Right.
If you didn't have wisdom, you wouldn't even know where you get it from.
Right.
I would have been without form and void. And when I see women like that.
That's good.
And all what you have.
That's good.
Is without form.
Right.
Like, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
Without God in your life.
Yeah. That, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I understood the correlation between having a husband and the importance of a husband. And maybe we don't have the matriarch, so I have to wait to be married almost 17 years to get these downloads and experience, you know, the trials and tribulations of our relationship to understand and to go through these motions of love to understand what it means when, you know, God love the wife like he loves the church or whatever. Like to live that. Yeah. And we talking about success and how we want to grow spiritually. And we grew spiritually beyond the religiosity that we were being taught. But even in the religious things that we was being taught, we able to see the symbolism
behind it.
Because there's nothing new.
Under the sun.
Under the sun. It's just elevation and application and higher. So when we have sex sometimes and we just can tune in
spiritually
to who we are.
Yeah.
Like I understand I am Mother Earth. Yeah. I understand, even not experience it, the pain of a woman being Earth and can't birth.
Mm.
Because now I understand on the spirit, you want a baby because you want a baby.
Right.
But I understand.
The spiritual
side of why you want to bring life.
Right. By design. Yeah.
Like you.
That's your urge. That's almost as equivalent to me saying, I don't know where I got the wisdom that I have from.
Yeah.
A woman may can't explain why she has the desire to need to bring life in, but she knows that the desire is there. It's by design.
It's by design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you have men that don't want to be God. You got men that want to be earth. And you got women that don't want to be earth. Why are you laughing?
I'm not, nothing. Go ahead. It was just funny because I knew what you were talking about.
And then we wonder why so much of our spirituality has been lost. Because when you say yesterday, she don't know who she is. you would think, talking about Ebony K. Mm-hmm. Williams, you'd think we saying she don't know, we don't know, she don't know who she is as in, you know, a woman, a black woman in America, an educated woman. No.
No, yeah.
You don't understand why we here.
Yeah. Your main purpose of being a spirit body in human form.
Yeah, and living out this experience.
You don't understand that. It's higher elevations of consciousness that you have not yet experienced because you are in it's such an earthly realm state of mind that you can't see beyond and above where you are. So, and you speak from that state of mind where you are, and that's what makes you sound foolish. And because so many people aren't there, they relate with you, which they should be able to because they haven't elevated, but it just keeps them stuck like you. So I guess that's what I meant when I said she needs to shut up and just learn. Learn from a spiritual mother that's trying to educate you because you asked the question. Your spiritual mother literally was trying to educate you. And instead of humbling yourself and listening,
you thought you knew the answer.
You thought you knew the answer. You pushed back. You missed such a pivotal lesson that you were supposed to gain in that moment. And we don't have teachers like that in the earth, like Iyanla and like you.
I'm trying to get there.
It's this void, right? So when you see it in action, you have to revere it. You have to respect it. And she didn't. She thought she did.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't, though.
And I guess that's the sad part.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Excuse me.
I just wish, and it's not just women that just don't know their place. Men don't either.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I understand
of
that everybody's not spiritual and all that jazz, but they're not spiritual only because they don't understand. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying I understand everything because I don't. I'm still growing and evolving in my understanding. But what I do know, the things that I do understand, I didn't teach myself in the world. It didn't teach me either. But they are like the hardcore truth that nature itself teaches me.
I remember Romans 1:20.
That's my favorite verse.
Just how you lit up when you got it.
Taught it to the kids.
You taught it to the kids. You had your own version of sign language to explain.
For them to remember.
Yeah, what the verse meant and for them to remember. And to me, that was the beginning of you understanding the simplistic nature of God in the earth
mm-hmm.
and in us. And just hearing you talk like this now brings me all the way
I
back.
I tell you, I was coming full circle about everything.
Yeah,
like, it's scary to me.
I mean.
Sometimes, like, when I just think about just when, like, to live.
But we've been there before, though.
But listen, but it's just different.
Okay,
because
all right.
The circles keep happening.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, you know. And just things like that.
Oh, I had a plan for you.
No, I know, but just to see, to see, you know, when people say, you know, you're going to see people and come back around and just crazy for the invisible things of him.
There it is.
From the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are
made. We're doing the sign language for y'all. Y'all can't see us.
Even his eternal power.
Godhead.
So that we are without excuse. And enjoy his little voice. Excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the teaching.
Yeah.
That's the teaching.
And
she missed that. I don't know what her mother is like. Even though she tried to.
Her mom was a worker.
Yeah. Yeah,
her mom was trying to make things happen, and yeah. I understand that
by herself, and that's why
that would have been me.
Yeah, I'm like you're. I'm not gonna say lucky, but you're blessed to not have to experience that life twofold. And what I mean is, you don't have to experience the life of single motherhood, and you don't have to experience the life of being a woman that is out of position later in her years of life. Like, you don't, that's what I meant by 2-4. Either of those lives you don't have to experience, because I found you and I locked you down and you opened yourself up to just learning what this motherhood is and what this femininity is and what it means to be a wife and a mother and just all of that. You opened yourself up. You didn't close yourself off. You didn't feel like you arrived.
I said I didn't want it. Like, I didn't want to be a mom. Yeah. At least not then.
But we kept progressing. We kept moving on. And you were open up to, and that's what I do credit us going into the church. I credit that. I give credit because I
credit the whole experience.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have took longer. I feel like you still would have got there, but I feel like everything that we learned there still plays a role in our lives to this day right now.
It does.
So you learning who you are as a woman and from a biblical perspective then is, I feel like, the beginning of your eyes opening to who you are as a woman. And now you're able to use that, even though we're not currently active in church now, but use that still in our lives to help guide us and position us and hopefully teach other people the same way, you know. So
it was a step that we needed, and I said that since we left. Like,
I feel that,
like, I know what we thought we was there for wasn't what we was there for.
Yeah.
But it was pivotal. It was our military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody don't enjoy their military career, but they take the discipline and the things that they learn and whatever and apply it however.
Right.
You know, and that was a grooming stage. That was our life probity of, you know, we got the acne, you know, we learning, we shaping relationships, we making mistakes, we dealing with people, you know, we learning, we having good moments, we're celebrating certain things.
Yeah.
But, and all good things come to an end.
Yeah,
it does. Know what I'm saying? And we had our bags packed with what we needed, and we're still living and eating off several things, not that we got from the church, the building,
but
time
yeah.
that we have spent, what, in personal development in reading and
hours upon hours studying
and just getting that, you know, getting that foundation.
Yeah.
And now, you know, almost 10 years later, getting revelations about things we read then.
Yeah.
Like, because that was seeds being planted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just beautiful. So when I say marriage is a beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not talking about the wedding. I had a wedding.
Well, we had the justice of the peace
come. I mean, we ain't had no wedding. We was married. Our wedding cost was $75. That was to pay the traveling fee for the notary to come marry us.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was 25 deposit and 50 when she got, 75. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
And I think the marriage license was 15-2 or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Less than $100 wedding.
Hey, 16 years.
Almost closer to 17.
Almost closer to 17.
This is me.
That's weird to hear, man.
Where did the time go?
Yeah, and it makes us sound so old, but we're not. We're pushing 40, but we ain't even 40 yet.
And we don't look at, like, the earth don't look how old she is.
I may look like.
You don't. But, so it's just beautiful. Marriage is a beautiful thing.
It is.
Experiencing and growing sexually with you has been a beautiful thing.
Right.
Like.
Give me the spiritual significance of earth and God when it comes to us connecting when we actually do have sex. I kind of remember what you said when we were talking, but You know, is it like the ground and the seed prayer analogy, or is it like the waters moving upon the face?
That's of what it was like, Reese, the last time.
Oh, okay.
A few minutes ago. Like 30 minutes, an hour.
And God moved upon the face of the earth.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. It was first, you know, I could picture it being dark. The room was dark,
mm-hmm.
you know, and couldn't see you, couldn't mm-hmm. see not even a silhouette of you. And your presence, I could feel, you know, and I'm there just waiting for something to happen. Like, I knew you was about to come, but I was waiting for something to happen. And the way you just, you know, touch me, touch my back. You know, it's just my mind started thinking about God coming and moving upon the face of the earth.
Right.
And how in being intimate, you know, it wasn't what you see on pornos. It was just such a smooth, loving, you know, I won't give no real details, but
gentle,
you know, just how you moved. And, you know, and then at the point of connection or insertion, how you just sit there, mm-hmm. and then, and just the moving, you know, not even moving, you're still, and as my body, just like a seed, or you, you know, sticking something into the ground, and how the ground just, the dirt just forms around it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, I don't know how to explain it without given details, but
you're doing good.
But it's fine. But it's the fact is that how I explained to our daughter about sex, you know, understanding that us women are the earth and our husbands represents the spirit of God. And in Genesis chapter 1, I can explain it as a sexual encounter because it's us being the earth and our husbands moving upon us and inserting and planting seed and life coming and growing, understanding that that sperm is the life. But before that sperm comes there, that ejaculation is what we refer to as the Big Bang, where life happens. And then you let the seeds marinate, and that's how we have everything that we have in the earth,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I just think understanding that and the intimacy that God and the earth had to make everything that we see,
right.
the energy that he gave,
right.
and how everything is after his kind, like how we name our children different names, and mm-hmm. just all of that started because of an interaction between God and earth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? It's just,
that's good.
It's just beautiful. So now I understand why we just name things, you know. It's just beautiful. And now, and with that understanding, you know, when our children, you know, get married or when we have a sex talk, you know, I don't have to limit it to the carnal understanding of birds and the bees. It's not just this some man coming you and he poked daughter. It's not that. It, in practicing and y'all learning each other's body, I'm pretty sure y'all have these weird, you know, sexual experiences as y'all grow.
Right.
But you got to get beyond that, you know, and you only get there with intimacy.
Yes.
Practice and learning one's body and being in a good spiritual place and, you know, inwardly. And those are the type of things that I'm happy because of our life's experience that we can pass on and have conversations together with our children about right. what this is about.
Right.
So that they can enjoy, you know, what lovemaking really is.
Right.
And in that understanding of knowing us, you know, I am okay understanding that one day I want them to experience sex like this, not sex like I see on pornos
no.
or, you know, people just out here just giving it away, because I want them to understand that they're the earth and there's right. only one earth.
Right.
You know, even in science, you know, We talk that even when we learn about other planets or whatever, it ain't like this one.
And you don't have a whole lot of spirits that have hovered over this one Earth either.
You know what I'm saying? And when you do have other spirits hovering over the Earth, something wrong.
Something happens. Something wrong.
You know, you got some type of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, mental problems when we letting other spirits, you know, hover upon us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know? It's good stuff.
So to be able to pass that down, you know, and they will have to couple that with their lived experiences and, of course, find the right person. But I only believe many women going back to Ebony K. Williams is that, you know, you don't know what God looks like to you or what your man would look like to you.
She says she never had.
Or what your man may have. God ain't came down this earth with no money.
None.
He
or status
when he
or degrees. No. All of those are taught social constructs that you have been taught to believe that those things are the pinnacles of success, which that could be one aspect because we do live in the social construct. But what is the bigger picture? Because you can't take those things with you.
The bigger picture, in my understanding,
and she doesn't have that.
But that's her job. How can I say this? Going back to Proverbs 31, woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know what the husband did in Proverbs 31.
I had all kind of imagery. I used to see him as someone on the city council. He was a influential man, a businessman.
He probably had people working for him.
Probably had mad boats.
Probably did. I don't know what that man did, but I know how hard that woman worked and how she started her day early and that she put in the grind.
Yeah.
And I knew that woman was able to have all of that because of what he did. Right. Somehow, some way. I just understand it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was, like in our situation, his investment in her that may have started it.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So it's like, I don't know how to explain it. But if you if you are a woman and you don't have a man, and you got everything that you have, if you look for the values that you know that you need or supposed to have, y'all could build wealth together.
Yeah.
You already up.
Yeah.
I could see if she was down and she ain't had no money and out of her trauma, she's trying to look for a way up. But you up. So what's it is to you to love someone that may not have what you have, but also have things internally that you don't have?
Right.
Like, can y'all make more together? So you thinking that your equal is maybe in this earth that has more money than you and more businesses than you. He may be somebody that is scanning your groceries.
Yeah, but you got to be open to that. But I don't think you've ever heard her say why.
Well, I heard her talk about how hard her mom works and how, you know, the black community is.
That's not what I'm talking about. Hold on right quick.
I've yet to have a male energy that provided or protected me consistently ever. So I think that I have taken on the reins to protect and provide for myself. Because what I'm not going to do, Ayanla, is be without. Baby, it's not happening.
Be without me.
So that would be without protection, be without protection, and be without the necessities of life.
That's what you haven't heard yet.
Yeah, but I already understood that.
Mm.
Yeah. If you're going to be God, if you're going to be the man, you don't need him.
That's why I say yesterday she was in love with herself.
Mm-hmm. Because you still without the protection that you're seeking. And all that you say that you are providing yourself, you can't. You limit it.
Yeah. But that's why I come in and I say that men need to get back in position and not be afraid to actually be men.
Babe, no man can come to her.
Character and integrity. Well, well, that's true.
But I felt that same way.
But I feel like if the man started early from being with her mom and was actually trying him in position, and I don't know what happened with him, but I feel like she would have got a different perspective and what that protection and provision looks like. But why wasn't he there? You know, I don't know. But what I'm coming to understand from our children is that every person is different. As I didn't need my father in my life and became the total opposite, not everybody can do that. Some people, our kids, need that in their life. Because without it, they may end up becoming just like this, having a skewed perspective without the proper understanding of what that looks like. Like our...
No, I believe love conquers all.
Baby, I understand that. But if love conquers all, then that means that that man that actually is in his position and not afraid of an attitude like that can shape-shift that entire person right there. But he has to be there. He has to.
And she has to let him.
Well, think like a man. I love the movie because of the different...
I would have been her. I was her at a very young age. I was her. I didn't want children and I didn't want to be married because I saw what my mom had to do, and I saw my sister with children without being married, and I just felt like the male representation in my life was very weak. I appreciated my stepdad, but I knew that wasn't my real dad.
Right.
So, and I saw how a man did my husband, did my mom. So it was like, I about to go out here the same way, get this bag, be secure in my own way, not understanding. I'm going to say, I'm going to make sure I take care of me the same thing, because I didn't have that. I didn't feel like, I felt like if I was to be in a situation where my mom depended on my biological father, and when life started life in and things started to go wrong, and my mama had to be homeless and find a, start working at Burger King, middle age, because she was a stay-at-home wife, and I just did not want to deal with that. And my mom didn't, after high school, because she had my sister and stuff, she was all dependent on a man, and when he was became abusive, my mama had to walk to Burger King to get a job, and eventually save up for a year and buy the trailer that she died in. I didn't want that. I knew that a man was associated with financial security, and I wanted to replace that like her, so that I could be protected from life itself.
Yeah.
So I
get... Dana said, it's a trauma response.
It is.
That's so sad, bro. Why I said I felt sorry for her.
But when it came to you at the young, ripe age of 17 years old, talking things like...
I'm going to make you an honorable woman.
I didn't believe you. at that time we had friends in high school that had kids that already had babies, and... it wasn't working out for them. I saw my sister had a baby in high school, and it didn't work out for her. And, so that's why the deal was, if I have this child yours.
Yeah, I remember that. Because
I'm not being a single mom. I told you that in the beginning. That ain't my life. And if that's, got buy-in from your mama, everybody understood that I did not, that wasn't what I wanted. Because I was worried about my protection, just like her.
Yeah.
But it was your love. I didn't want to marry you. I didn't even want to move in with you. I didn't want to, because I wasn't trusting, because I didn't know what you was going to end up doing.
Yeah.
So in my trauma response, I had a hitting problem. Anytime you would yell at me, I would try to attack you, because it's like, you ain't about to hit me. So I wanted you to know that I was crazy. in case anything pop off while we living in this apartment that you paying for. Because ain't no man about to control me.
I know, but that wasn't the type of time I was on at all.
It wasn't, but again, that's, I knew my mama got married young, and my mama ended up being hit on.
Right.
I was a small, thinner woman.
Yeah.
You know, that just had a baby, and I had to depend on your care, and that was uncomfortable. And then when you asked me to do certain things, and like, who are you to tell me what to do? You know, I just didn't like your control. And, you know.
Not my control, my request.
Your request. But to me, I didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I had to be used to a man giving direction, a man giving order, and a young man at that. That's just Jonathan, Jokey Jonathan, that I married and got caught up with. You know, we had these great conversations in theory, but I didn't know you was going to be the person that actually lived that out. Mm-hmm. And my future is tied up with you now. And I did not want that. So it's like, okay, one thing for me, I can get this baby back to you because I already told you I didn't want to have this baby. But if I marry you, I'm about to intertwine my life with you. So that's why I was like, I was postponing being married while you was wanting to be married. We could have got married a lot sooner than what we did. But I was like, that marriage part was more scarier than birthing the baby. Because I knew I could detach from the kid whether I wanted to or not.
Right.
But me intertwining my life with you, you know, you like being angry that I didn't want to change my last name. I was being resistant to us coming together as one because I was just fearful because of, you know, Ebony K. Williams.
Ain't nobody taught me that. I just knew that you was supposed to take my last name.
And you became patient with me. You was like, I know you don't see it now, but... But the woman I see, he was like, maybe when you in your 30s.
I used to say that all the time.
The woman I see, you know, you was holding on to whatever this vision you was. And I was like, okay, something is wrong with him. I don't know what he talking about.
I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? But you held on to a vision of me that you had.
Yeah.
That I didn't know what you was talking about. I was like, I don't know what he, okay, in the right 30s, I'm going to be all of this. You even said, because like in the beginning of our relationship, total transparency, I struggled with sex sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I just did. And you was like, well, in your 30s, I can't wait for your 30s. Now you be trying to shut me down. Like, you just had this vision for me.
Yeah.
That you knew what I was becoming and you was going to be patient for it. Mm-hmm. And just going back to God and the earth situation. You know, we may see these Bible stories and God move upon the face of the earth and the very next scene, everything grew and birds flying. That probably took time.
Yeah. Took time.
Like, when we look at the most beautiful trees been here for years. Like, you know.
Even us growing a plant, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
It takes time, but you was willing to see that out. You know, when we had arguments or whatever that vision, like, you know, that's in the Bible in Jeremiah. Like, you don't know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper. Like, for you to have seen that in me as being your earth, it was like, you know, it's beautiful now to reflect. Like, this is what he was talking about. Oh, I'm in my 30s and life is great. Like, I'm this and I'm that and I have this understanding. But, you know, we're 19 years in all together.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And it's like, but look what we've been through. You know, I deal with the Jesus of you. I deal with the man you.
Yeah.
And we dealt with the hardships of you being a man.
Yeah.
And the struggle of you being a man. Mm-hmm. And you being in the wilderness, being tempted. Mm-hmm. And all of that in your man form.
Yeah.
But in your spiritual form, you've been still God the whole time. Isn't that so awesome? That's
bars.
You know what I'm saying?
That's dope.
So it's like, how you made it through infidelity, and I have to explain to people that I had to separate my husband Jonathan from the man Jonathan, my friend Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And in your moment of weakness, being, you know, tempted by the things of the world, and you've been on that mountain in trances with the enemy, which was the enemy of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And dealing with you,
right?
I just had to be there as your. It hurt me as the person, me as the wife, me. But I had to understand your duality.
Exactly.
That you just was not my husband.
The same man that walked on water was the same man that had to eat physically.
Yeah.
You know, or the same man that and that took a whip in the temple and
told them, tearing up stuff.
Haven't you not read that my God said that my house would be a house of prayer? Like, that's him in his humanity, but yeah. At the same time, he said that I'm going to die, go away, and I'm coming back. Yeah. You know, it's the same man that was resurrected. It's like, so the duality of him and how you was able to correlate that with me, it makes perfect sense. Because I can't tell you where the wisdom came from. I know I've had some good teachers throughout my life, my mom being one of them. You know, taught me good foundational principles. And the men that were in my life, me growing up, you know, mentors, you know, they would talk, and some things would go in one ear and out the other. Other things stuck. So I've had some teaching along the way, but the specifics of what we're talking about, I can't tell you where I got that from. And I remember the first adult that spoke into me that I heard me that I can remember for the first time was Miss Slepsky.
The teacher?
Yes. She from memory of what I can understand
and what she
of
said.
Who I was. She was like, Jonathan, you are a great young man and you're going to do great things. Like, I don't know what it's going to be, and I hope I'm around, but who you are as a person and a leader, you're going to do great things. She gave me my first leadership book, which I wish I kept. I don't know where it went, what happened to it. But I have a picture of me and Mama at an award ceremony.
Yeah.
The church that was across the street from school.
I see that picture.
Right. You see what I'm holding. In my hand is the certificate and the book that she gave me that day.
Can we see the book in the picture?
I can't because I'm holding it sideways.
Dang.
And I read that book multiple times when we were in the apartment. But she was the first adult that I can remember that spoke to who she saw that I was, that I felt that I was, and that I believed that I was, but never was affirmed in it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, from there, it was just me holding on to those words and then trying to discover what that was and discover what that looked like. And it's frustrating to have what you feel like is wisdom, but you can't do what you want to do with it. It's uncomfortable to feel it, but it's not impossible for you to do things. So I just continue to try to figure out what that looks like, in the framework of purpose for me, which is family. What that looks like. Excuse me. That's always been my goal, my motivation, everything that I've based my decision. I don't care what it is. Any decision I make, whether it's, you know,
going overseas.
Yeah. That speaks to purpose and speaks to family. I do it for family. I do it for family.
What at 8 stuck out to you for you to, out the blue, just, like, do you remember what you were doing that day for you to say, Mama, one day I'm a marry?
I remember us being on Meeting Street on the bus going downtown, and I'm looking at the trees as we roll by them, and I can't tell you why, but I was in my John John space.
Because my son is out of this world.
And like, bro, where your brain be at sometimes? But that's me.
Yeah.
So I give it grace because I'm looking at me.
That's a jokey little boy.
Weird. He's joke. Like, I could only imagine because I saw him on the camera when Jermaine came mm-hmm. with the babies. Mm-hmm. And he jumped out and he did his arms like this. And he said something. And I was like, oh, he says I'm jokey. He just says I'm jokey. But how his mind works is how my mind works. When I was younger, I don't know, I was just on the bus. And I just remember turning to my mama and I told her, Mama, one day I'm going to leave you. I'm going to find me a wife. I'm going to get married. And I'm going to leave you. And our son does that to you.
He does.
So I don't know where. But I'm so glad as far as me knowing who was going to carry on my legacy.
So at what age?
Important, I needed a son. And to see that spirit in him.
Yeah.
I know that when I do get to that point where I close my eyes on this life, that I'm going to be satisfied that he's going to be able to carry that out.
No matter how tall he is.
Boy, you speaking of my fear, man. Oh, man.
But being that that happened at 8, the question I want to ask you, at what age did your mom start telling you, being that she may have planted the seed, for you to know that you was going to leave her?
My mom started planting seeds of marriage when she saw my interest in girls at 6.
Wow.
She started seeing my interest in girls at 6. Because my mom, she was a teacher's assistant, so she always was with me. And
you touching she a little
saw
girl.
My little promiscuosity. How you say that? Promiscuousness? Promiscuity. That one. Thank you. She saw it, and she started telling me little things like that. And it's funny because I told you this last night to see how generations work. The same teachings now, well, that she taught me then, she's here to tell my son, mm-hmm. her grandson. Mm-hmm. Same thing. And to have me echo it. Mm-hmm. I told you the story. We were in the kitchen, and it was me, her, John, and I had just came downstairs, and she said, Jonathan, tell John that when he gets married, that mama is not number one, his wife is. And John, in his confusion, he was like, what? Mommy is always going to be number one. And I said, no, son. Me and Ma taught me is that your mommy is number one until you find a wife, and then your wife becomes priority and your mama becomes secondary. You don't ever stop loving your mama, but your wife is first, she's second. And he still looked confused, but I said, as you get older, you'll understand. We'll have more conversations like this. But it's just funny how, full circle again, mm-hmm. how that looked in that moment. You know, older generation, newer generation, being taught the same wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And now I know to plant the seed too, because, you know, you was able to take that directly from your mom and roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
The same person told your son, and he was not feeling it. You know?
So because now, it has to come from me.
Or me.
The parent. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm going to let him know mm-hmm. that as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, you know.
I don't
generations.
Know. It is, man. And how all of this works together. And it started with the vision. Miles Munn, I'm listening to that sermon today. Why men need visions and dreams. Like, I'm getting emotional even thinking about it. Because I remember when it hit me. The significance of that message and how he was able to just use different analogies of everyday life and make it make sense spiritually. It just like, I get it. You know, you being in position as a man first and you having the vision first, being able to communicate that vision. And then rather you execute or you find your wife and y'all execute, the vision still gets executed. But it starts with you having it first and you having the ability to impart that and have your wife buy into that vision. 21 irrefutable laws of leadership, mm-hmm. the law of buy-in. Having your wife buy into that vision and you guys work as a collective to build that, you know, I love that I was able to be in that position, and I would love to see other men there as well. Just being able to find that. Why are you here? That's the first thing that I would ask. Why are you here? Are you here just to make money? Are you here to impart and leave something that's bigger than yourself? You have to know that as mm-hmm. a man first. because you have to be able to communicate that to your spouse. I feel like any woman can and would join a man on his journey of life, of imparting and leaving into this earth. But they have to know who they are, play their position, and then be able to effectively communicate that. And I feel like anyone will follow that. But it starts at the head. Everything rises and falls on leadership. You know, it starts at the head. Mary received openly. But it started at the head. I find you. I choose you. I impart into you. Mm-hmm. Something greater that's going to, God willing, outlive us.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good stuff.
You know, I remember when we used to talk about the way we understood marriage.
Yeah.
And understand the relation, even understanding the relationship between God and man and the woman and the earth then, of why we do the weddings the way that we do them and why, you know, the whole giving away and, you know, why the woman is given into the man and why the man has to choose, mm-hmm. you know, because it's something in a man's choice.
Yes.
That a woman's choice
can't
just, it's not the same. It's like not. we not equal.
No, that's why that woman should never kneel.
Right.
Don't ever kneel. Don't ever kneel in front of a man. That's not misogyny. That's chauvinism. It's not. Order. It's a man that finds a wife finds a good thing, because that woman having the understanding that she was chosen. It's willingly, like,
it's just, first of all, we can't, I don't think that we have the earthly power to choose our man.
Mm. Okay.
We can know who our man is. We can have that inkling. But I really do believe, and this is not equal, I do believe that at least in the beginning, the man has to love you, has to love the woman more than the woman loves the man.
Absolutely.
And when you have, that's what I tell our girls, if you feel or find that you love a man more than he love you, that's not it.
No. The man has to love you more.
And naturally, you're going to be attracted to what you want that may not be good for you.
Right.
Because you're looking at, you and the man ain't looking at the same things when y'all look at each other.
No, we're not.
You know, he has to see you in a different way than he see all the other women. And all the other beauty and all the other whatever. It has to be something. You literally have to be the apple of his eye. And if you're not that, if he's not chasing you, if he's not hunting for you, and you're not consuming his day, you are not it.
Right. You know, and to make that make sense with God and earth, you know how much God has to love such an unstable earth.
I know, right?
And to not give up on it and to still bring life into it with all of the seasons changing up and down.
Yeah.
Volcanic eruptions.
That's us women. All
that's
day.
Women.
All that's day. Wonder why y'all need a break and all that.
But God still loves, it's his earth.
Yeah. The man has to, his mind has to be so fixated. And that's why he has to have a vision for you. Otherwise, you're disposable.
Yes.
But so even thinking about me, you know, I did not want our relationship. I mean, I thought you was awesome. I thought you was a good man. I'm like these women today. Well, he's a good man, but he ain't for me. You know, that's what I thought, especially being young. I got my whole life ahead of me and you trying to lock me down. Like, Jonathan is a good man. He's my best friend. You know, I believe that Jonathan's going to do great things. And everything that we visualize about our futures, I believe that. But in my mindset, that did not mean I was your partner. Mm. Like, I enjoyed our talks. And I enjoyed you saying everything that we said. I enjoyed us just our conversations. I enjoyed your headspace. But that didn't mean that I saw you there until later. Right. But because in my heart was, you know, I'm going to do this and I want to build that. But it was you, you know, choosing me mm-hmm. and then having to sell me in on the vision is what made it. But if I had loved you initially, like how I was so head over heels over my ex and things like that, it was, you know, I felt as though I loved him way more than he could love me. And he did love me, don't get me wrong.
But you were chasing.
But to me, I wasn't at our very young age, no fault to him.
Right.
You know, I don't feel like though at the time I was the apple of his eye.
Right.
I think he may have seen things as well, but just where his mindset was and his distractions. Mm-hmm. You know, it only when I was ready to leave or say certain things now, you know, let me fix this, because I do think Eva's this wonderful. I think he saw it,
right.
But I wasn't the apple, and I was just holding on, you know, or whatever. But for you, you just knew,
mm-hmm.
you know, and.
Girl, we ain't being friends no more. We gonna date.
Giving me ultimatum.
You doggone right. You better bring your behind on. I got stuff I'm trying to do.
And I let you go, too.
You did let me go.
But I
came back.
And that's the whole chase part, when a man wants a woman.
You bring your behind on. I got time to be playing with you.
You know what I'm saying?
You going to take this seat.
But it's funny, like, man. You, in that, you know, a woman can't. We're not equal in that way.
No.
Us trapping a man, having babies with men, and having sex with men do not make them want us more. Mm-mm.
And that's also what I was going to tell you. I didn't want to cut you off. I think you being you only having two sexual partners
mm-hmm.
Helped you to be able to receive love a little better.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I had a bunch in my ground.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? So it's like, it's just, so when we say, when I tell you, honey, that, you know, marriage is a beautiful thing and sex is a beautiful thing, that's really what I'm meaning. I'm thinking about our life together, how it grew and evolved together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about me being your earth, you know, how God takes care of even the lily in the valleys, like just everything.
What was my sermon?
Huh? Consider the lilies. Yeah, you be doing Brother Daniel voice when you say it. Like
I know,
because
that's like, I just remember him doing this.
That's still one of my favorite sermons from you. No, Love of God is, but Consider the Lilies. That sermon was about how, you know, if God takes care of and can grow a lily in a valley.
Yeah.
That why wouldn't he consider you as his creation?
Exactly.
And all that you're going through.
Exactly.
And that's to understand that whatever obstacles that you're facing or whatever's happening in your life, just remember that if God took the time to take care of a lily,
mm-hmm.
then not you. And when I think about the trials we went through and the pain that we went through and even the pain of losing my mom or the pain of, you know, what we have experienced, I still feel well kept. You know, it's like, I think in every decision, God still considered me. I remember driving to work one day, and I was like, God, you was just so rude. I told you this, didn't I?
I think.
I was like, you was just so, like, so rude. And it was because it was a certain time, because I just go in and out missing my mom, which is a natural human response. And it was basically God saying, if you needed her there, if you needed her, she would be here. But you didn't need her for where you're going. And I was like, that is the most rudest thing ever. But I understood, because God was telling me in spirit, not that everything that I need, I have.
Right, right.
So I miss my mom, which I do, but I didn't need her like I thought I needed her.
That's deep.
Like, I got everything I could get from her, and I'm still living off her example.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like, so even in she having to leave for her, her departure from this earth ain't had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And I remember asking Mama, like, how are you okay with leaving us? Like, how are you okay with dying? And she didn't have the right words. She just said, I just know you're going to be fine. And I'm like, and how can you say that so calm? Like, how can you just be okay leaving me? And she was like, Evie, you'll be fine. Just as plain or whatever. Understanding now, that was a her thing. Mm-hmm. That ain't had nothing to do with me.
Right.
And in me loving her, I literally have to respect that she had to transition for her.
That's what Yana said about her husband.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that.
Because you didn't listen to the whole interview that I told you to listen to.
I thought I did. Love interview. I probably just saw clips of it on TikTok. Yeah,
because he died during COVID.
Oh, I did remember that.
She said it was selfish of her to want him to accept the treatment because she had to understand him making that decision was for him.
Yeah.
And that it was time for him to go.
Yeah, I do remember that. But I thought she explained it the way that I just did. But yeah.
You did. Y'all said the same thing. I heard the same thing.
Well, I get it was the same thing. But yeah, it's just that ain't had nothing to do with me. But I was like, but why does it hurt so much?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, trusting that, you know, God went and, you know, everything that we have, you know, we need. You know, it's like our kids know to come to you for everything that they need. They don't even ask me. Sometimes I get so jealous of y'all. Like when Joy lost her headset, her headphones, and you bought it, she was like, thank you, Dad. Like, I tell them to buy it. Like, give me some.
Then the girl end up finding the doggone thing.
Give me some credit. But that's just you providing. You know what I'm saying? Knowing Joy don't ask for anything and, you know, things like that. But it's just. It's beautiful, and with much wisdom comes much sorrow. But at the same time, you know, life be lifing, but we some resilient people.
Yeah.
You know, and our resiliency is fueled by the energy of love, which isn't this Hollywood emotional feeling.
No.
You know, it comes with the true pain and the true pleasure of just living out life.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And even in me saying that and recognizing that about my mom, I do not, even knowing that, don't want to experience the loss of you or a child.
Neither.
Like, I don't care what that was. Like, it's just keep protecting us, Lord.
Yeah.
Keep us, Lord. Like, okay, now. All right,
now.
All right, that's enough. You know? It's so scary. And all, yeah. You know, but love is beautiful.
Love is very beautiful.
So when people ask us what love, life, and legacy is, it's the circle of life and us just learning and growing.
Just wait till I get, I'm still working on the language of the singleton family values to go over the fireplace, but that's what it's about. It's the love, life, and legacy. So I want that to just be the centerpiece and the focus of our home. So when our kids are in the front living room, it's always going to be there. When people come in the house and they see, it's just always going to be there. You're going to always be reminded what the Singletons are about. This is what we are about. This is what we represent. Don't ever forget that, man.
I just like how our kids are getting buy into love, life, and legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And how much they talk about it. You know, and our oldest, I had drew a tattoo on my leg. Of love, life, and legacy. And I had just took a picture of it and put in our family group chat. And the fact is that they all think the whole family should have tattoos of the love, life, legacy. And then our oldest, Jayla, was like, ooh, and at the end, it should have established 2005 when I was born. And I just thought that was so awesome. Like,
established 2003.
Well, our friendship.
I know, baby.
The fact is that she understood that she is a part of our legacy. And yeah. She was our first child.
Yeah.
And to want her birth year to be that, especially, you know, thinking that she ain't understanding nothing we teaching about love, life, and legacy. And for her still talking to me about this tattoo that she want to get for her 18th birthday. Like,
she just want a tattoo.
I know, right?
She just want a tattoo. I'm just glad that she's using that as the, you know, the thing to get it.
But if so, I really do believe that the seed is there. It may not grow the way I think it should grow.
Back to what I said, that our kids, need the two-parent structure.
Yeah.
Because just imagine if I wasn't in the picture, how that would have looked.
She probably would have been worse than me.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now they love their daddy boy. They all have a love for you that I just I love when Elena just watch you work. Like sometimes I just look at her watch you.
Yeah.
And I know just the way that child is wired. That child stresses me out even when she's gone.
Yeah.
But the way her brain works.
Works, yeah.
And we was riding the car not too long ago, and she was talking about her wanting a husband like you.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, you remember when daddy saved the baby from the car? And when daddy, you know, killed a snake in the front yard? Daddy just so, you know, just those examples of just you being that protector, like, she knows that, like.
I love them ages because our oldest, I can't remember if it was Jayla or Naya, they said they were going to marry daddy. It was one of them.
I think it was Naya.
I think maybe it was Naya.
Maybe it was Jayla. I don't know.
I can't remember.
As a baby, yeah. Jayla just had this infatuation with you that, that I don't know what it's going to look like in her adult life.
Yeah.
But because you had her, y'all had this bond when she was a kid that went through different transitions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were her favorite parent at one point, and then
I wasn't.
Then you wasn't, then you was offended.
I call your mama. It was like, bro, I'm hurt. Like,
like she don't want to come to me no more. And then when she got older, and you used to always take her places, like y'all always go do store runs together, so she want to hang out with daddy again. And then when she was like 3, you deployed.
Yeah.
And she was so used to your bedtime routine. It's 7 o'clock.
Oh,
she was so used to your bedtime routine that she used to pull out her hair, and her anxiety start kicking in at the age of 3 because of wanting you. And you used to call early in the morning your time, late at night our time, just to tell her goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
That would help, like, calm her down. Like, you were just, at the age of 3, just,
yeah.
Even though I was here with her, those months you was gone, it was like, but I want my daddy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then, now she's getting older. And then Ava was 1 when you came back. That chick ain't had want nothing to do with you. She didn't, because she was like, she was fine seeing you on Skype and waving.
As soon as she saw me.
That's the person.
Like, girl, you know you came for me. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. But once she got used to you, you know, you became
my clingy child.
Yeah, you became her person, you know. Honestly, I just got a vision. You had kissed Naya one time. She cried like Elena did.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, they just...
That's my clingy child.
They just both all over you.
Mm-hmm.
And now Naya swears she the favorite. But it's just amazing, like, how they love me.
Yeah, of course.
But it's just something different with these girls.
Dad's love, man. Do you know we are at an hour 7?
That was fast.
That was fast.
Yeah, but it's just different.
You feel like you got everything you need to say off?
I do.
You sure? Mm-hmm. You have anything else you want to add?
Mm-mm. I just love you and thank you for this life that you have given me.
I love you and thank you for accepting the invitation.
Mm-hmm. Take care of me.
You'll always be mine. All right, that's good. You're good. Stop.